Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I'm so glad you get to be part of this study because we're studying about great men and women in the Old Testament. And today we are going to end the lesson that we've had on Joseph, that great forgiver. Here he's called the preserver of God's people. And you may want to turn to the last chapter of the book of Genesis. That is Genesis chapter 50. And we're going to begin reading in just a moment in verse 20 about how God had overruled evil for good. That's one of the great lessons we learn by studying this great man of the Old Testament. And then as we bring this lesson to a conclusion, we're going to begin the study of another great man, and that is Moses, the great lawgiver. In fact, the title of the lesson is Moses, Liberator and Lawgiver. And so be turning in your Bibles to the end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus. And while you're doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying Sunday school lessons written for the Sundays of 1923 by E.A. Elam. And it's good that we have these in print and they've been preserved all these years so that we can see what it was back in the days of your grandparents and great-grandparents and see how it was that they studied the Bible when they went to Sunday school, and we can study the same things. And it's good that we can do that, and it's not surprising that we can do that and find these lessons as applicable for us today as they were then, because the truth is always the same, and people really don't change all that much. And we need these lessons. And so I'm going to now turn to Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 20, where Joseph said to his brethren, "Ye meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Joseph knew that the evil and hatred of his brethren, that their motives were the very worst, and that their crimes were enormous. But all of this God had overruled for good. The good, as stated by Joseph, was to save much people alive. Joseph was a great blessing to Egypt, to other countries, and to his own people. But the fact that God overruled the wickedness of his brethren to this great good did not lessen their crime. God did not need the sin of Joseph's brethren to carry out his purpose. He could have used other ways and means, but he overruled this crime and made the wrath of men to praise him. We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 76 and verse 10, "Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee, and the residue of wrath thou shalt gird upon thee." God leaves men free to choose and to act for themselves. Yet he overrules their wickedness to his glory and the good of his people. God sent Joseph in that he overruled the crime of his brethren to bring about the result. In this way, the seed of Abraham became strangers in a strange land. And that is what Abraham had been told would happen back in Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. God said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance, but thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." Thus we see the working out of God's purposes through hundreds of years. In Cana, the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. Through Joseph, God separated the Israelites from the corrupting influence of the wicked nations of Canaan and brought them into contact with Egyptian civilization and gave them the discipline that was needed to make them indeed his peculiar people. There was nothing miraculous in Joseph's case except the interpretation of dreams as God revealed them. Yet God's hand was in every seemingly common circumstance. And with that, this Sunday school lesson about Joseph, the preserver of his people, comes to a close. And we begin the lesson on Moses, the liberator and lawgiver. Now, in introducing Moses, we're turning to the book of Exodus. And I would like to read to you the first two chapters of the book of Exodus by way of beginning. It's recommended that we read chapter 2, but I want to read chapter 1 as well. It is such a fascinating story and such an amazing account that we have, and it is so fundamental to things that follow that it would do well to take heed and pay careful attention and know these stories well and write them on our hearts so we might have a fuller appreciation and understanding of the rest of what is going to come to pass. So now I begin with the American Standard Version on the second book of Moses, commonly called Exodus. Exodus 1 and verse 1. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. And Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they also join themselves unto our enemies and fight against us, and get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set them over taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherewith they made them to serve with rigor. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Sapphira, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the birth stool, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwife come unto them. And God dwelt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them households. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. There went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife to the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein, and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And she saw the ark among the flags, and sent her handmaids to fetch it. And she opened it, and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maiden went, and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, he smote the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And he went out the second day, and behold, 2 men of the Hebrews were striving together. And he said unto them that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Thinkest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared, and said, "Surely the thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and dwelt in the land of Midian, and sat down by a well. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and moreover he drew water for us and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Sapphira, his daughter, and she bare a son. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. And it came to pass in the course of those many days, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God saw the children of Israel, and God took knowledge of them. Well, that's how the book of Exodus begins, and we're going to go on and see how God chose Moses to lead his chosen people out of that promised land, bring them to Sinai for a law, and then through the wilderness unto the Jordan River, and Moses would stand on the far side of the Jordan, and there he would meet his God, but then Joshua would lead the children across, and they would inherit that land that God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. We've got a lot in store. Be ready for class.